I'm experienced now, professional. Jaw's been broke, been lost, knocked down a couple times. Bad. Been chopping trees. I done something new for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Bad dude.
Bad. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark.
Incredible.
Fast.
Incredible.
And you, George Foreman, all of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked, but the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
And that was Muhammad Ali, and who passed away this weekend. So what we thought we'd do today was dedicate the show to Muhammad Ali, and specifically about mindset and his self-belief, which was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, one of the things that really struck me about Muhammad Ali was the way that he would just stand and fight for what he believed in. And it's just really important that as we go forward in life, that we learn to stand on our own two feet and fight for whatever it is that we want out of life. And that's exactly what he did. We talk about Vietnam when he was called up and he refused to go. He refused to fight. And he was saying that nobody would fight for him as a black man. And so why should he go out and die for the white man over in Vietnam when the Viet Cong hasn't done anything to him? And so he was a pacifist despite being a world-class boxer. And I would imagine that that had something to do with his religious faith to some extent. But I think deep down he was a pacifist anyway. But what struck me about Muhammad Ali specifically was his just pure self-belief in doing whatever it is that he wanted to go do. And he would tell you what round he was going to knock the guy out. And he would come back having knocked the guy out in that round. And so I've got a story to tell you. And I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but it's such a wonderful story. I just wanted to share it with you anyway. Because when we talk about self-belief, this is just epitomizes his self-belief. So Muhammad Ali, he had a trainer by the name of Angelo Dundee. And now, most people don't know this, but before every boxing match, Dundee would write a number on a small slip of paper and he'd put it inside Muhammad Ali's glove. Obviously, it might sound like a bit strange, just giving a piece of paper and sticking it inside his glove. But that number that he wrote on that piece of paper was the round in which Angelo Dundee, Ali's trainer, predicted that Ali would knock his opponent out. And Dundee was so confident in Ali's ability that he didn't just guess whether or not Ali would win, but when he would win, and Ali knew it. And it's just an awesome story because it just shows not only about Angelo Dundee's belief and faith in that boxer, but also the fact that Muhammad Ali had the piece of paper inside his glove, knew the round that he was supposed to knock the guy out in, told everybody. And I remember after one boxing match, I heard this story, and a guy went up to Muhammad Ali and asked for his gloves. And Muhammad Ali said, yes, no problem. Fifth round is when I'm going to knock him out. And so he knocked the guy out in the fifth round and handed his gloves over to this guy. And then when the guy opened up the gloves, there inside the gloves was this bit of paper, and it said the fifth round. And that's just phenomenal. Talk about having trust in the process, trust in your own abilities. And, you know, when we talk about self-belief, the reason why we talk about self-belief is that so many people don't have it. So many people have those little voices that go on in the back of their mind telling them that they're not good enough. Now, by the way, Muhammad Ali, what did he used to say? He said, I'm the greatest. That's what he said all the time. And to some extent, that's an affirmation, right? But now, if you think about that, and let's say you're investing in property, and you say, I'm going to be the best in property investor ever, okay? And when you actually say those words, if there's no belief behind you saying those words, you're going to feel like a failure. Now, by the way, for Muhammad Ali, if he said, I'm the greatest at boxing, and there was no belief behind him saying those words, what did he do? He would go back to the gym until he became the greatest. And that's where the work begins. So Michael Jordan said it. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I made it look too easy. And you never saw the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. Do you remember the Nike advert? And it's the same for Muhammad Ali. The only way that he could be the greatest is to practice the greatest, is to put the time and effort in. But I'm sure you've heard the next phrase that Muhammad Ali said. He said, I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. And that's the thing that most people are not prepared to do. They're not prepared to suffer now. They're not prepared to work until midnight and get up at five and continue working. They're not prepared to work those weekends. I remember years ago, my friends at the time saying to me, you know, I was on holiday with them in Ibiza or, you know, lads sort of holiday sort of thing. And I would be checking my phone because a tenant would phone through a problem with a toilet or an oven or what a boiler, whatever, right? And they would be like, what are you doing? I was just checking my phone. And they're like, what you're doing is wrong. You're on holiday, you should be enjoying it. I'm like, the tenant's got no heating or whatever it was, so I've got to fix it. And then they said to me, and I'll never forget it, they said, oh, well, that's the difference between you and me. When I leave work at 5 o'clock, that's it, I'm done, I'm on holiday, I don't have to worry about it. And here we are sort of 10, 15 years later. And you know what? Like Monday morning right now, they're still at work, working. I live on holiday. And the reason there's a difference there is because I put the work in. And you've got to put the work in. If you want to get fit, right, you want to lose weight, and you're not going to the gym 3 times a week, minimum, and do you think it's going to be harder for you to lose weight without you actually putting that effort in? Of course it is. If you want to learn to play the piano or the banjo or the flute or whatever, you've got to put the time in. So if you want to be a great property investor, you have to put the time in. You've got to put the work in. You've got to listen to the webinars and read the books and download the podcasts and speak to the estate agents and speak to the tenants and go out and speak to vendors. You have to put the work in. And I see and hear so many people talking about, well, I was going to do this property thing, but I don't think it's going to work for me. I'm like, well, what work have you done? I've hardly done any. And so you've got to put the time and effort in. You have to put that in. And it starts either at the gym if you're losing weight, or it starts in gaining knowledge if you're listening. Now, bear in mind that the more knowledge you have, the easier it's going to be. But it doesn't just start and end with knowledge. It really starts and ends with action. You've got to start taking the action. And you're going to have those negative voices in the back of your head, but that's where your self-belief comes in. So Muhammad Ali also said, I'm the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was. I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was. So before he knew he was the greatest, he said it. And he said it by the use of affirmations. That's why he said it. And by the way, do you think that if you tell someone out loud like Muhammad Ali did, I am the greatest, okay? Do you think if you put that out there, that now you have a reputation, a level that you need to achieve, because if not, it's going to be pretty embarrassing. Of course it did. Do you think that was a self-motivator for him in order to be the greatest? Absolutely. And most people shy away from that. Most people are too afraid to put down, I'm going on a diet, I need to lose 12 pounds in 12 weeks, please help, keep me on track. Most people will not do that, because what if I fail? But for someone like Muhammad Ali, failure wasn't an option. He had to be the best, because it was too embarrassing not to be the best. So one of the other things that he said, he who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. Do you think investing is risky? Of course it is. Do you think buying property is risky? Of course it is. Do you think getting up and getting out of bed on a morning is risky? Of course it is. But I tell you, most people die in bed than they do, you know, in a car. The bed, from an insurance point of view, is actually the most dangerous place to be, because most people die in a sleep, usually on a Monday morning from a heart attack, by the way. You know, most deaths happen at like 8:30 on the morning from a heart attack, Monday mornings. It's because of I hate work. So you've got to be courageous. You've got to take the action. But what are the alternatives if you don't take the action? If you're not going to take the risk? Well, if you're not going to do that, then you live life just like you have done for the rest so far. But you don't want to live the rest of your life like that. That's why you listen to podcasts and you watch the webinars. And I see you guys on the same podcast that I do, the same people on the different podcasts, the same people coming again and again and again, because they're taking the effort, they're taking the risks, they're putting the time in, because they want to get the result that they want to get, either to be the greatest or to be the best dad or to be the best partner or to be the best that they can be with the resources that they've got. By the way, to be the greatest property investor, for me, is not the goal. For me, the goal is to be the best dad, the best husband, the best friend, the best coach, to help as many people as I can along my way before I die, whenever that happens to be at age 132. That's the whole point, whatever it is for you. So, you know, I tell you, one of the things that, like 2016, we've lost a lot of people, haven't we? We've lost a heck of a lot of people. A lot of people have died at a young age as well, sort of 69, 70. For a lot of people, you know, David Bowie, for example, 69 years of age is no age. And so one of the things that this sort of does is a reminder that we're only here for a short amount of time. I mean, I'm 43 now, so I'm halfway, maybe, depending on how long we get to live for. And obviously that's extending. But, you know, death faces all of us fairly quickly. And we're only here for a short amount of time. And you can put that thing off until tomorrow, on the next day, and the next week, and the next year. But if you keep doing that for another 40, 50 years, you've got no more years left. And so one of the things that someone like Muhammad Ali dying actually does for us is remind us that this mortal coil is only here for, you know, we're only here for a short amount of time. Let me give you a little story. So when me and my wife's called Louise, and we were on about moving to Spain, and obviously, moving to Spain, I've got two young children living in the UK. Lou has all her family and so on in the UK. And so there's a million reasons why we shouldn't be moving over to Spain. You know, it would mean I would have to travel every 2 weeks to come back and see my kids. I've done that for nearly 3 years now, and I don't mind doing it. And I quite enjoy doing it. And I love my kids, and so it's not an issue. But, you know, we knew there was going to be a lot of sacrifices. And so We talked about it in February. By April, Lou had got a job interview for a school here in Spain. We flew over. She got the job. And that was it. So from February, from deciding to April, she got a job interview. This is it. We're going to go to Spain. We're going to go and leave. We were getting married in July. And then what happened was her next door neighbour, or her parents' next door neighbour, they were in Koh Samui in Thailand. An older couple in the 70s, two married couples, two men and two women. And the two men went out to look for a restaurant to go and find somewhere to eat that night. And the two ladies were in the rooms getting ready, as ladies do, because it takes men like 5 minutes, doesn't it? It takes women like 45 minutes. So I don't know what women do for 45 minutes, but for some reason that's how long it takes. Not all women, obviously. So the men were out and they were looking. Like an hour later, they didn't come back. And the women were like, that's really weird, where are they? So they go downstairs to look for them, and over to one side is like this huge commotion. And there, over on one side, it turns out that the two guys were bent over looking at the menu to see what was on the menu. And a car came round the corner, out of control, and careered into them, and killed them both outright, there and then. And so the ladies came down and saw the aftermath of that. And in the end, this was Koh Samui, in the end, obviously the holiday was cut short, and the two ladies came back on a plane, and the two guys came back in coffins. Horrendous story, horrendous. And that acted as a reminder that, you know what, life can go in a heartbeat. It's gone. You blink and it's gone. How old are your kids now? And, you know, going, my eldest is 11 years of age. 11 years, where's that gone? Goodness me. 43 now for me. Where's that gone? I still feel like I'm 25, 26 and still learning. Where's that gone in the last 20 years almost? But life can go so quickly, and before you know it, it's gone. And by the way, we got married in the July, and our honeymoon was in Koh Samui. And it just served as a reminder that you've got to go out and live life to the fullest. You've got to go out and do whatever it is that you need to do, because we're only here once, and we're not here for very long, 70, 80, 90 years, and that's it, it's done. And we're talking about putting stuff off till next year? Oh no, Dan, I'm not going to get coaching this year. I'm going to wait till next year until I'm in a better space. What does that mean, you're in a better space? If you need to be in a better space, then pay for bloody coaching now and get it done. And then next year, move to an even better space that the coaching enables you to get to. Don't wait a year. I'm going to join the gym next month. What are you waiting a month for? Well, I want to lose a few pounds before I join a gym. Well, surely if you join a gym, you'll lose a few pounds even quicker. And then in a month's time, you'll have already lost those pounds that you said you were going to lose, and you could go lose some more, so you'd be ahead of your goals. Why are you taking it so long? We're only here for a short amount of time. And so, do you think Muhammad Ali lived life in fear? Or do you think he was ever fearful about anything? Of course he was. He's human like everybody else. I love one of the quotes that he said, by the way. One of the quotes that Muhammad Ali said was, "It isn't the mountains ahead to climb that wear you out. It's the pebble in your shoe." So it's not the journey ahead of you. It's all these little things that are stopping you, all these limiting beliefs that are stopping you from moving forward. Because the journey is there. It's there for everybody to take. And everybody can climb the mountains if that's what they choose to do, but not everybody does choose that. Most people choose just to live the 9 to 5, retire at 65, which is no longer going to be 65. It's going to be 67, 68, 69, 70. And everyone's going to be up in arms about it. But there's no choice because there's not enough money in a pension pot. But it's not the mountains that wear you out, but the pebble in your shoe. Why not make it as easy as you can? Get rid of all these little self-doubts, these little niggles. Another thing that Muhammad Ali said was, it's the repetition of affirmations that lead to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. And most people, like, affirmations are awesome. I do affirmations. When I was going through my family court stuff, I was going into court, no solicitor because I sacked him because he was rubbish. And I was going into court, I went up against a solicitor and a barrister and my ex-partner and still came out winning. Now, to have the balls to go into court up against that type of opposition, I did affirmations. I remember being in my, and she was my new partner at the time, my now wife, and I was in the front room and she'd been making tea or whatever, checking emails on a computer in a different room, and I'd be shouting my affirmations. And actually, it was the Tony Robbins affirmation.
Now I am the voice. Now I am the voice. I will lead, not follow. I will believe, not doubt. I will create, not destroy. I am a force for good. I am a leader. Defy the odds. Set a new standard. Step up. Step up. Step up. Use your whole body. Now I am the voice. Now I am the voice. I will lead, not follow. I will believe, not doubt. I will create, not destroy. I am a force for good. I am a leader. Defy the odds. Set a new standard. Step up. Step up. Step up.
And I would do those again and again and again until I believed them. Until I believed them. And so until that belief became a deep conviction and things began to happen. And the self-belief that I could actually go and win in court. Now, by the way, if my voice sounds different from just a few moments ago, it's because I actually just did the affirmations. I've not done them for a while. Boy, the energy pumping through your veins right now is phenomenal. And so they're the affirmations. And it can start with affirmations. If you've got that little voice, you've got to start believing that you're the best player on a basketball court or the best property investor or the best father. You've got to start telling yourself this stuff. Even if you don't believe it, start telling yourself it, because eventually you then start to believe it. And that's what's really important, because then when you start to believe it, you start acting like a champion. When Muhammad Ali said, "I am the greatest," and he kept telling himself that and telling himself that, one of the questions his subconscious mind would have been asking was, what would a greatest do? How would a greatest train? What would be the mindset of the greatest? And that was his unconscious mind. It would go into his conscious mind and then he would perform to that level. And that's exactly what you've got to start doing as well. There's so many lessons to be learned from reading about other people's challenges and the stuff that they've overcome. And in fact, if you're looking for reading material, like sometimes, like just business material or property material, it's just a bit too much for me. I love my sci-fi, I love aliens and spaceships and all of that sort of thing, and time travel, I love the possibilities that gives us. But I also love reading about success stories. I love watching films about success stories. Me and the wife last week, we watched a film with Robert Redford, an hour and a half film, he's on a boat on his own, with no talking throughout any of the film. There's just no talking. There's no dialogue at all. Just Robert Redford on a boat, and he has to survive because he's got a hole in it, and is at sea in the middle of the Atlantic or Pacific or wherever he is, and he has to survive. It was an awesome film. I love watching people overcome things, whatever those challenges happen to be. I love watching, like, the NBA Finals right now, and Golden State were down 3-1 in the playoffs. And what happens? They come back and win 4-3. They win three games in a row to win. Only 10 other teams have ever done that. And it's phenomenal. Like, they're not necessarily the underdog, by the way, in that series, just because they were 3-1 down. Their winning record was like 72-8. They won 72 games and lost only 8 in the last season, which was a new record, which is phenomenal, right? But I love watching people overcome challenges. And that's what you should be doing. You should be overcoming the challenges. Look, we all get challenges, and it's so easy to sit back and go, now, do you know what? That challenge is too difficult, so I'm just not going to overcome that one this time. What's that supposed to mean? We're put on the earth to overcome challenges. We're two things. The first thing that we are is a meaning-making machine. We derive meaning from everything that happens, whether you want to or not. If your car breaks down, we will derive a meaning. Well, it was meant to be. Oh, look at that. I'm useless because my car's broken down. I'm so useless, I knew I should have taken it in for service, but because I'm too lazy, I didn't do it. All that negative self-talk comes out. And actually, we could derive a different meaning from that. My car's broken down. That's a good reminder. What else am I not showing up in taking care of business? Taking care of my family, taking care of my partner, my kids, taking care of my income, taking care of my well-being, my health. So the car breaking down was a sign that I need to pay a bit more attention to those other things that I've been neglecting. There's two ways of looking at everything. So the first thing is that we're meaning-making machines. The second thing is that we are challenge-overcoming machines. We are put on the earth to overcome challenges. I mean, I know this for a fact. So what happened was, when I was 29, I had more property income coming in than I had expenses going out. This was before kids, obviously, because your expenses soon sort of go out of all control, don't they, as soon as children arrive. But this is what happened to me. So I left work at age 29, never had to work again. I could have retired through property and so on. And I didn't do anything for 18 months. I was bored because I had nothing to overcome. I had no challenges to overcome. I had a few minor ones with tenants and people not paying and all of that sort of thing. But we are challenge overcoming machines. So first of all, we're meaning making machines. So it's up to you to decide what meaning you want out of a particular thing, be it a breakup in a relationship, be it ill health, be it like severe ill health. You can go either way. You know, you can see it as an opportunity, or you can see it as something negative. But then we're obstacle overcoming machines. And if you've got no obstacles to overcome, like, that's the measure of a man. What is that old saying? The saying is, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. So listen to that. Where they stand at times of challenge and controversy. There's the other saying, anyone can sail a ship on a calm sea. And you know, while we're going through the good times and we think we're awesome, that's great. But it's while we're going through the bad times, can you believe that you're still awesome then? And if the answer to that is yes, then you're on the path. Anyone can do well in a rising market. It's when the market is dropping, can you still make money? Now, if the answer is yes, then you've the answer is yes, by the way. You just don't know what it is yet, possibly. Or your attitude isn't geared to the right meaning. So anything that happens, you could determine it as being a negative meaning or a positive meaning. You get the choice. It's your choice. It's not a fact. It's a choice. So if my car breaks down, for example, and it did actually last week, it broke down. The water pump went. I was on a motorway doing sort of 70 miles an hour. And it's like, oh no. And I managed to limp the car home. And then I waited the next day and then took it into the garage. But it's like, maybe it's time to get a new car now. Or maybe we can just extend the life of this car. But I get the choice to decide. I get to plan. Now, if the head gasket had gone and the car was ready to blow up, then maybe, like, that could be perceived as a negative thing. If there's no money to buy a brand new car, then that could be perceived as a negative thing. Or maybe it means I have to go out and get my thinking cap on and start doing something a bit different, start thinking differently. What we're going to do to replace that vehicle? I mean, as it happens, it's an old Ford Focus, and I love that car. I've had it a couple of years here in Spain, and I'm past the point now of buying fancy cars, quite honestly, because I value my financial freedom too much. I value being able to go walk on the beach with my feet in the surf too much to be buying Porsches and Ferraris and all of that sort of thing. And by the way, with Porsches and Ferraris, maybe with a Porsche you can, but I can only fit four people in that car. I have a family of five now, by the way. So I'm into sort of daddy wagon mode now. But that's not even what's important in my life anymore. Being able to go out canoeing or paddleboarding in the Med just at the bottom of the street is more important to me these days. I've gone through that period of, you know, fast cars, nice penthouses and so on. And now it's about spending the right level of time and not being stressed and being able to spend time with family and so on. So look, this podcast is about self-belief. And there's a couple of things that you need to do in order for you to change your self-belief. The first thing that you've got to do is you've got to decide. You've got to decide, what is it you want? So if you want to lose a stone, then decide that's what you've got to do. If you want to buy your first property, then decide that's what you want to do and find out, work through the numbers, what type of property is it going to be? That's the first thing. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to commit. You've got to commit to that result. So if you want to lose 12 pounds in 12 weeks, what are the commitments that you need to make? Drink more water, eat better quality food, more water-based food like plants and lettuce and carrots and all that sort of stuff. Cut down on the carbs. And number three is get to the gym three times a week. You need to commit to that. And if you can't commit to that, then you can still lose weight, but it's going to be an awful lot harder. So then number three is you've got to act. So you've got to take the action. You've got to go to the gym. We said it earlier. You've got to do the time. You've got to put the effort in. If you want those results, and then you've got to start, once you've written down what it is that you want, you've got to start believing that this is achievable. It's attainable. And I tell you, it totally is. I mean, my property portfolio is in the millions of pounds, but I tell you, when I did GCSEs, I got one GCSE at C grade, and that was in computers, by the way. And I was done over. It should have been a straight A. Goodness me, I wrote a GUI, a graphical user interface on the Acorn Electron. Unheard of in those times. And my computer teacher, age of 16 I was, said, what's the point of that, of having pointers and where you use the cursor keys to point at things when you just type in the commands? Because in the olden days, in the old BBC, you had to type run program one and it would load up program one. Obviously we use mice now, don't we? Mouses. Well, that's what I wrote. I wrote a graphical user interface, and my computer teacher couldn't understand why would we need a graphical user interface when we just type commands in from a keyboard? And here we are using graphical user interfaces. I got a C based on someone else's opinion. And I spent so much time putting effort into that. So what did I do? I went and did resits. And after my resits, I ended up with five GCSEs, all at C grade. I haven't got a degree. I did an OND, a BTEC OND, equivalent to A-levels, server said, in computers. Goodness knows how I passed that, but I did. And then I started a HND, not a degree, a HND. And I dropped out of that after 6 months. And here I am with multi-million pounds worth of property portfolio living on the beach. Or near the beach. I don't live on it. So look, if I can do it, anybody else can do it. But there's a couple of things that you need to have for self-belief. This is what I say about Forrest Gump. One of the reasons I love Forrest Gump, and the music, by the way, the Forrest Gump music, is what my wife walked down the aisle to. Forrest Gump music. It's beautiful, beautiful music. We use it in hypnosis quite a lot. But the beauty about Forrest Gump was that, like, his IQ was very low, okay? So he was too stupid to know that something couldn't be done, so he just went and did it. For me, that was the whole point in that film. He just started running. He didn't know why he was running, he just started running. And everything he did, he became really good at because he didn't know that you couldn't do something. Whereas the more intellectual around us, or the more intellectual we are, the more excuses we put in. I'm not good enough. I've not got enough education. I've not got enough knowledge. Goodness me, I had 5 GCSEs, multi-million pound property portfolio now. Don't tell me that you're not good enough, because I know for a fact that you are. But it starts from committing to what it is that you want. Deciding what you want. Before you commit to anything, you need to work out what it is that you actually want. Most people don't know how to do that. So commit to whatever it is that you want. This is why we do the 90-day coaching. Because in 3 months, you want to lose 12 pounds in 3 months. It's really easy to do. It's a pound a week. It's definitely doable. You want to commit to that. Then first of all, you've got to decide that that's what you want. If you want to start being a property sourcer, within 3 months, you can easily have your first deal. We've had clients who've had the first deal in a couple of hours. They placed the first advert on Gumtree, and they've got the first lead. We placed an advert just last week, and I think it was within 6 hours we got our first lead through for a rent-to-rent deal. And we've taken that deal on now. And we make £228 a month clear on that. That's how much money we make on that deal. We've got a tenant in there, and that's how much money we make. And we did that, right? So you've got to, first of all, decide what you want. Then you've got to commit, and then you've got to act upon it. You've got to start taking the actions that will lead you to it. So look, this is really all came about because I wanted to do some stuff on self-belief. And obviously Muhammad Ali moved on from his life here on planet Earth to wherever he happens to be. And I'm not religious at all. So wherever he happens to be, it could be nowhere for all I know. But wherever he happens to be. And I just wanted to cover some of the things that made Muhammad Ali great. And it was all about self-belief. And it was all about mindset. And with that in mind, I'm going to leave you with one final quote. And I love this quote. Okay. I know where I'm going and I know the truth. And I don't have to be what you want me to be. I'm free to be what I want.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe